back at CIUT, 89.5 FM. You can donate, CIUT.FM, and click on donate, mention the Taylor Report. And this is Tony Leah of Unifor, and once of General Motors. And General Motors has left the building, as they said, but made a U-turn and they're back. Now, we spoke to you, Tony, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Phil. Glad to be here.
We spoke to you about this, and of course, people are thrilled to learn that General Motors decides they're going to make some trucks, pickups, I guess, in Oshawa, GM Oshawa, where the great layoff happened. Now, you've written a wonderful article for, is it called Labor Studies?
Labor Notes.
Labor Notes. I really urge everybody to go to Labor Notes. And also you can find it on Tony. What is the name? Where do people go to find your article?
I think that if you go to the Labor Notes website, which is labornotes.org, you can Google, or you can search GM Oshawa, and you'll find the article by Rebecca Keach and I about the recent contract and GM's plans to return. The title of the article is General Motors Returns to Oshawa, but offers only second tier jobs in a pop-up plant.
Yeah. Now, and we of course interviewed you previously about it, and a topic came up. There were two elements to what we were talking about. One is the fact that people don't realize, I think generally, that the bulk of the employees at the Oshawa General Motors pickup building plant will be new employees, if I'm right. The second aspect that we went into it, talking about it, and I'd like to explore more, is the tier system of wages. Could you talk about that and how this is part of the problem or that we need to face, union people, working people in Canada?
Sure. At least 90% of the people who will be building pickup trucks starting a year from now in Oshawa will be newly hired workers, which means they'll start at the starting rate of about $23.60 an hour, which is 65% of the top rate. And Unifor, really following in the footsteps of the UAW in the United States, more than 10 years ago, agreed to start widening the gap between newly hired workers and workers who were already there. And in fact, new hired workers were called a second tier because they were treated in an inferior way in wages. They don't get the same pensions as longer term workers. And the time that it takes to get to a top rate has started at 6 years in Canada, and then it was extended to 10 years. Now they've cut it back a little bit to 8 years, but it's an incredibly long time when you think that the basic union principle should be, always has been, equal pay for equal work. If you have two workers doing the same job, and they're, by the way, they're making profits for General Motors when they're doing that job, how does it make sense that one of them gets $14 an hour less? Where does that money go? That's money's going to GM. What do they get to deserve that money? You know, it's really outrageous. And it underlies a lot of the problems that we've been having. So we end up with a situation where, whether this was planned from the beginning or not, we don't know. But the result is that 2 years ago, well, actually just a year ago, GM was building trucks in Oshawa. Most of the workers were getting $36 an hour for assembling those trucks. And now, a year from now, they're going to, you know, they stopped building vehicles in Oshawa. A year from now, they're going to start again, and they're going to hire all new people making $23.60 an hour. This is a windfall for GM. And the fact that the union agreed to this structure is what allows GM to take advantage of it now. And along with a lot of other really negative factors that people have pointed out over the years, that it creates division, it creates resentment, it makes it harder for workers to fight together when they're getting such widely different wages and benefits and pensions. And it undermines the union's overall goal of fighting to improve the standard of living for workers. I mean, that's what unions are supposed to do. And how can you say that you're doing that? How can you have credibility? How can you build struggles to achieve that when you're agreeing with corporations to give them this windfall of a second tier workforce?
You're surrendering to them all the assumptions that they make about how much should be paid, because we all know General Motors just can't get by without a tier system, according to their reasoning. And the unions have bought into that. How old is the idea of the tier system? When did it get introduced?
It goes back in the auto industry, probably in the 1990s. And it's cancerous, it's corrosive. So if it starts in one small place, it spreads. And it started in the auto industry in the supplier companies. And at that point, GM, Ford, and Chrysler had their own supply, built their own parts, a lot of their own parts. GM's division was called Delphi, for example, and Ford had one and so on. And they started farming those out. They didn't want to, because the wages were higher, they wanted to farm out those operations. And in the course of doing that is when they first got the UAW in the US to agree to drastically reduce wages and benefits in order to hang on to those members and those jobs. But of course it spread, and then it spread into
a virus.
It's a virus. It's a deadly virus. And it spread into the auto manufacturers themselves. So the UAW introduced it in 2007. And in Canada, it was introduced around the same time, but it became institutionalized in 2009, when GM and Chrysler were supposedly on the brink of bankruptcy, and we had to bail them out. And part of the price for bailing them out was that the workers had to be sacrificed, along with public money. Mm-hmm. So it's been longstanding. And then predictably, it wasn't a year later, the GM and Chrysler were making big profits again. So did the workers get back anything of that they'd been given up? No. Did the retirees get back the things that they had given up in 2009? No, this is just great. Look what we did.
There's a copyright on nobody. This is CIUT at 89.5 FM. We're talking to Tony Leary, chairperson of the Political Action Committee of Unifor in Oshawa. So I like the term political action. Do you know, Tony, it always strikes me that people, one of the ways union leaders kind of resist doing anything about this terrible situation you describe is to say, they like to make it rather an intractable issue. We're doing our best, but boy, this was tough. However, there is a province of Canada, sometimes called a nation, has a law, and they don't have the tier system. Am I right?
It's illegal in Quebec, and the labor movement in Quebec fought on that principle and achieved it in 2001. Their labor law in Quebec bars companies from having this kind of discriminatory pay system, where newly hired workers get far less than workers that have been there longer. You can't do it. It wasn't achieved easily. It was fought for. But you would think that the labor movement in the rest of the country would say, this is a fantastic achievement by the workers in Quebec. Let's fight to achieve that in the rest of the country. But they don't. They just keep it as a little dark secret. They don't want to, maybe they don't want to be showing up, or maybe they don't want to fight for it, or maybe they don't want to support the workers in Quebec. I can't speak for them, but I know that in Oshawa, we have talked about what they achieved in Quebec and said, this is a standard that we should be fighting for. And I would hope that we can continue to do that, and that, you know, we could get the attention of our national union and other unions in the labor movement of Canada. And I want to also mention that Quebec workers didn't stop at getting eliminating two-tier systems in wages. They continued to fight. And in 2018, the law was amended to make different features for pensions also illegal. So the attack on pensions that we've been seeing everywhere, taking away defined benefit pensions from workers, cannot now be done in Quebec since 2018. So this is, you know, it's such a great example of what can be achieved if you're prepared to fight using the strength of workers and fighting for political change as well and combining those battles. And it would be so much stronger if the whole country was united with those workers in Quebec, learned from them, learned from their example, and said, this is the way forward for us as well.
Well, this is Tony Lea, and he is the chairperson of the Political Action Committee of Unifor Oshawa. So it must be natural that you'd be the one who noticed that. I hope that your voice will be heard, and where laws are passed in Ontario, and of course, the big place that ought to be heard is the Canadian Labour Congress, which presently is in hibernation, as I understand it, waiting for appointments to the Senate or ambassador jobs. Tony Lea, we thank you very much, and it was a wonderful article in Labour Notes. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
Taylor Reports, CIOT. We'll be right back.